All right, welcome to Bright Video News for Tuesday, March 10th, 2026. I'm Mike Adams, and I thank you for joining me today. I've got, of course, a special report about the war update situation, which is quite interesting. Essentially, Iran has now offered the United States terms of surrender, that is a surrender of the U.S. Yeah, so Iran is not surrendering, but Iran is demanding terms that it has every right to demand, actually, and we're going to get into that because Iran absolutely controls the Strait of Hormuz. The U.S. does not. The U.S. has so far failed in its mission. It has not destroyed the Iranian regime. It has not toppled the government. And it's clear that Trump is desperately seeking an off-ramp at this point. So I've got a report on all of that. Also, there are hints of a military draft being discussed, and nobody in Washington will say on the record that there won't be a draft. So they might be planning that. Also, in other news, Anthropic, the AI company that created Claude Code, is suing the Trump administration because it was added to a blacklist by the Pentagon and Pete Hegseth, who's a child-minded lunatic, in my opinion. So Anthropic filed a lawsuit. It's covered on CNBC and elsewhere. Anthropic was labeled a supply chain risk by the Pentagon, which requires all defense contractors to certify that they don't use Claude Code. It's almost like it's designed to make the U.S. military like stuck in the past or something, because Claude Code is the best coding engine today. So Anthropic is demanding that the court vacate the supply chain risk designation and to grant a stay on that, stating that this designation could cause hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue losses for the company Anthropic. And by the way, as background, you may know that Anthropic, its CEO Dario Amodei, he said that he doesn't want his technology to be used for autonomous weapons, you know, Skynet, Terminator, killbots, and also for mass surveillance. And yeah, I'm with him on that point, actually. Now, Dario, you know, he's an interesting character, that's for sure. But he started Anthropic from a place of wanting to have safety. Like, we want to have the world's best AI, but we want it to be safe. And, you know, sure enough, Claude Code has some pretty strong guardrails on it. Certain things you ask it to do, it won't do, which is sometimes annoying, by the way. I've run into that before. But overall, as a coding agent, it's really extraordinarily capable. And I actually agree. I agree with Dario's position here on this. So we'll see what happens in the courts. But the Trump administration, once you're on the enemies list, the Trump administration will always find a way to punish your company and make sure that you never rise above it again. So Anthropic said no, but of course X said yes. Elon Musk said yes, because, you know, he's part of the military industrial complex, obviously. Microsoft said yes. Google said yes, etc. So all the other AI companies are like, yeah, where do we sign up for the Terminator killbots, you know? But only Anthropic is willing to stand on principle and say no. But that's interesting. You know, that's interesting. Anyway, I've got some other news for you as well. And I've got an interview. The second part of the Ty Bollinger interview, I think, is what we have for you today. And before we jump into the reports, just to remind you, we have food supplies available right now at healthrangerstore.com/survival. We've put together a whole selection of survival supplies that we thought might be very useful for you right now, given that, you know, fertilizer is about to get hit hard. There's going to be crop yields will plummet. We're going to have more food scarcity and food inflation in the fall season, etc. Engineered famine, as Michael Yon has warned many, many times. It's engineered famine. So that's coming. So it's a good time to stock up on some extra food that's been lab tested and is certified organic and is actually packaged for long-term storage and, you know, survival and preparedness purposes. Plus, it's delicious, and we don't use any crazy, you know, no synthetic ingredients, no MSG, obviously, none of that garbage. We don't do that. That's why our food's more expensive too, because it's not just a bunch of textured soy protein processed garbage with MSG and sugar, whatever. And what do they even put in it? Half the survival food out there is just MSG and soy protein, you know, and a bunch of salt or sugar for their drink mixes so they can add to the calorie count, you know. Here, have more sugar, you know. Great. Just what you want during a food collapse crisis is type 2 diabetes, you know. That's not a good plan. Anyway, again, healthrangerstore.com/survival. All right, enjoy the rest of today's broadcast. Okay, despite what you're hearing from Trump and the White House, the U.S. and Israel are badly losing this war with Iran. And in fact, Trump is already looking for a way out. Israel is starting to complain online about their civilians being targeted, if you can imagine the hypocrisy on that, after years of Israel deliberately targeting civilians in Gaza and Lebanon and the West Bank and Iran and Yemen, you know, etc. All of a sudden, Israel has found its new victimhood status. Oh, we're the victims. Really? No, you're not. You're the aggressors. But Trump is looking for an exit ramp. That was clear in his speech yesterday afternoon. And on top of that, Iran has now laid out the terms for a U.S. surrender. In other words, terms for concluding the conflict. And wouldn't you know it, they are exactly the terms that I mentioned, that I predicted a week ago or whatever it was. Now, I'm not claiming that Iran would listen to my podcast, of course, but these are kind of obvious, sort of self-evident points. And they are, number one, that the United States has to lift all economic sanctions against Iran. Sanctions that the nation has been under for, what is it, 47 years or something like that. It's been decades. Secondly, that Iran, that the U.S. has to respect Iran's right to develop nuclear weapons. Because, of course, after all of this, and after the assassination of the Ayatollah Khamenei and many of his family members, etc., Iran is absolutely going to pursue nuclear weapons if they don't already have them. And they are demanding that the West accept that reality, that, yeah, Iran is just going to be recognized as a nuclear nation, which will, of course, immediately cause Israel to stop attacking Iran. You know, going nuclear is the best self-defense mechanism that exists in our world today at the nation-state level. And the third demand is that the U.S. compensate Iran for all the damage that has been caused and the losses of oil and the losses of infrastructure, etc., loss of life. And that's probably over $1 trillion, is my guess at this point. But those are the demands, or at least those are the first three demands. There's actually, I don't know, five or six demands. But those first three are the ones that I mentioned before, and that's what Iran has just laid out. Now, understand that Iran has the leverage here. So in the big picture, Iran controls the Strait of Hormuz. And if the U.S. were to even attempt to have U.S. naval vessels try to escort other ships through the strait, then Iran would attack and damage those naval vessels and possibly even sink them, or one or more of them. It's even rumored that the USS Abraham Lincoln was already struck by an exploding drone and it was on fire. You know, it didn't sink. Aircraft carriers are very difficult to sink. But it took some damage and then had to flee the area, but or at least flee the shoreline, you know, or anywhere close to shore. So Trump can stand there and say, hey, everybody just start sailing through the strait. But in reality, Trump can't stop Iran from targeting those ships. In other words, the U.S. Navy cannot protect the Strait of Hormuz. And that's a key takeaway from all of this. If the U.S. Navy can't protect the Strait of Hormuz, then Iran has the leverage. Iran is in control of the global economy. The U.S. is not. Yeah, the U.S. can bomb Iran, but unless somehow the U.S. can managed to destroy every single drone launcher, which is impossible because drones can be launched from, you know, pickup trucks or tents or garages or shacks or small caves or anything. Drones are very portable. There's no way the U.S. can stop the drones, which means there's no way the U.S. can offer protection for the Strait of Hormuz. Nor for Israel, as is now obvious, because Israel is taking a tremendous amount of damage. And you probably heard Ben-Gvir got killed. He's a war criminal, a Zionist war criminal. I don't celebrate anybody's death in this war. I always call for peace, but he was an evil person, no question about it. And he oversaw the deaths of hundreds of thousands of other people. So there you go. Also, reportedly, Netanyahu's brother has been killed by a missile strike. And also, let's see, who else? The son of Smotrich has been seriously wounded and might die or might survive. It's not clear. Apparently, shrapnel sliced through his abdomen and sliced his liver. But as you know, the liver can grow back. So, you know, maybe he'll be okay. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But Iran is in control. That's why Iran gets to set the terms of the U.S. surrender. And Trump is rapidly trying to find an off-ramp to this by saying in his press conference, and I'm paraphrasing, but Trump said, you know, we're almost at the end, or, you know, it's almost done. Like, we've almost destroyed everything, and we're going to... It sounds like he's about to say, we're going to declare victory and leave. Well, guess what happens if you declare victory and leave? You still don't control the Strait of Hormuz. No. In addition, if the U.S. pulls its assets out of the region and backs away from Iran, hoping that Iran will reopen the strait so that the world economy doesn't collapse and the dollar doesn't collapse, etc., well, then who's going to protect Israel? Not that the U.S. is really doing anything to protect Israel at this point, but Israel's going to keep taking missiles from Iran, and so will the Gulf states. So in other words, Iran is committed at this point, absolutely committed, and they've elected their new supreme leader, the replacement, who's the son of the Ayatollah Khamenei. I don't recall his name yet. I guess we'll all get used to his name, whatever it is. But Iran can continue to fire missiles at Israel and the Gulf states and the military bases and ships going through the Strait of Hormuz at will. And that puts Iran in the negotiation position to be able to demand terms from every country in the world that wants to use the Strait of Hormuz. So you talk about holding all the cards. It's not Trump. It's not Hegseth. He's a moron. It's not the U.S. It's not Israel. It's Iran. Iran holds all the cards to the global economy, the oil economy, the natural gas economy, which is far more crucial in many ways, not as much storage, for example, and also the sulfur that we talked about yesterday, sulfuric acid, etc., and food deliveries to the Gulf states, which come in through the Strait of Hormuz. So Iran holds all the cards, which means that Iran can dictate all the terms to everybody that uses the strait, which is most of the world. Most of the world. And one thing that Iran could do is, moving forward, even if they decide to reopen the strait, is they could say, okay, you're going to pay a toll now, and it's a toll to help us rebuild all the damage that was caused by Israel and the United States. So every ship that goes through the Strait of Hormuz has to pay, I don't know, what, $5 million, let's say. And by the way, these ships, remember, these ships cost like $400,000 a day to operate. So $5 million is not even a very large amount considering the value of the cargo they are carrying. You know, they can be carrying, I don't know, many tens of millions of dollars worth of energy on any one trip. I don't know the exact number, but it's big. So whether it's $1 million toll or a $5 million toll, whatever it is, Iran can start demanding that toll. It's a tollway now. The Strait of Hormuz, you pay if you want to sail. And Iran can even explain. We're going to do this for, you know, 5 years to compensate for all the damage so that we can rebuild, and we will ensure the safety of the ships that pay the toll. Why wouldn't they do that at this point? Why wouldn't they? You know, what are the Gulf nations going to do? What's Bahrain going to do? They're about to have a revolution themselves. What's Qatar going to do? Nothing. Otherwise, Iran could just blow up their water desalination plants. What's the UAE going to do? Nothing. It's tiny compared to Iran. What's the U.S. military going to do? What can they do? They've already thrown everything, and it's not working. The regime hasn't been overthrown in Iran, which was the goal. The country hasn't collapsed into chaos, which was also the goal. And the U.S. military is taking, I believe, hundreds of casualties, ship damage. They've lost multiple war planes, you know, fighter jets. But more importantly, Israel is being destroyed by the day. And Israel, just like we saw in the 12-day war last year, Israel is probably telling Trump, you have to find an off-ramp. You have to find a way to end this, because we, Israel, we cannot endure this for another 3 weeks. So, again, Iran is in control of the situation. The U.S. is not in control. And yet the U.S. is, you know, giving you a dog and pony show, of course, with all the press releases and all the liars in D.C., Carolyn Leavitt and Trump and Hegseth and, I don't know, all of them. They're all just absolute, well, they're war criminals at this point, by the way, for violating international treaties and much more, deliberately targeting school children to be exterminated, as they did. But they're also just liars, just daily lying all the time. So here's what's interesting. If you look at the global oil situation right now, it's so desperate. So much of the oil infrastructure has been either destroyed or frozen by the Strait of Hormuz that Trump just announced he's going to end all the oil sanctions on other countries in order to ease the global energy crisis. So imagine that. Remember when Trump was threatening India and Taiwan and Japan and saying, how dare you buy oil from Russia? And also threatening China that if you buy oil from Russia, we're going to slap a 50% tariff on you. Well, he said that to India, and he did. He slapped a 50% tariff. And Trump thought that he could control the world through tariffs. Well, the Supreme Court shot that down and ruled it's entirely unconstitutional, which it always was, because Trump is just a lawless thug at this point, a lawless thug just bullying the world and wielding the United States of America as his personal weapon of terror against the rest of the world. Well, even he is having to lift oil sanctions on other countries in order to keep more oil flowing. Why? Because gas prices are starting to go up in the United States. And while the average U.S. consumer doesn't pay attention to really what's happening with war in the Middle East, they sure know how much they're paying for gas. And every time you drive around, there's a sign from a gas station that's telling you what the prices are. So it's kind of hard to cover that up, although I'm sure the White House will try. So the White House is trying to keep those numbers low as we move into the election season for the midterms later this year. But I don't think it's going to work. It's also the same White House that tried to tell you that your food is getting cheaper, that inflation is going down. And last Thanksgiving, they said, oh, your Thanksgiving meal costs less this year than last year. No, it doesn't. They're all liars. They're liars and crooks and war criminals. And of course they're lying to you about everything. But, you know, they'll try to release more oil from the strategic oil reserve or energy reserve, except most of that's already gone. You know, it hasn't been filled back up. But they'll try to push other countries to export more oil. I mean, they'll use every tactic in the book to try to get more oil flowing. But without Iran allowing use of the Strait of Hormuz, that oil is not going to be the same. We're talking about something like 20 million barrels per day of a deficit compared to what used to flow in the global economy. 20 million barrels of oil a day is a significant chunk. It's not the whole world. You know, it's not 100% of the oil, but it's a lot. I don't know the exact percentage, but it's a very big chunk. I want to read for you some of the notes of the damage that Israel has already endured. And this is from an online user that put all this together named Cool Ustaz. But I confirmed these numbers. At least this is what's being reported, although none of us are on the ground, so we can't be 100% sure. But Netanyahu's lying to the world, just like Trump is lying to the world, about the damage, trying to cover up and say that, you know, Israel's not hurt at all, and, you know, the U.S. hasn't been hurt, barely any deaths among U.S. soldiers, etc. But here's the truth. The Dimona nuclear reactor has been severely damaged and is offline. I don't know the status of its destruction, but it's a lot. Apparently, 11 top nuclear scientists have been killed in the strikes on Dimona and the facilities there on the same grounds. 6 senior IDF generals have been eliminated in targeted assassinations and missile strikes. 198 Air Force officers, apparently, including many senior pilots. 462 soldiers killed. These are IDF soldiers. 32 Mossad agents have been killed in covert operations that went wrong, some of those in Iran. Also, the head of Mossad, I don't recall his name, but the head of Mossad was just assassinated. Apparently, there's over 700 high-value personnel in Israel who have been killed. And remember, also Netanyahu's brother and Ben-Gvir, etc. They're all dead now. And this is why Israel is starting to panic and starting to claim to be the victim. Oh, our civilians are being targeted. Oh, yeah? Really? You didn't say that when you were blowing up hospitals in Gaza, did you? No. So Israel is starting to get the Gaza treatment, and Iran is dishing it out, except that most people, most Americans don't know this because you're not allowed to know any of this. Also, X heavily censors any truth about the damage in Israel. So X is doing the bidding of Netanyahu, as is the White House. So Netanyahu appears to be hinting, that is, assuming he's still alive, which we don't actually know, but assuming he's still alive, he may be headed towards the decision to use nuclear weapons against Iran. And remember what I said before, that if anybody uses nukes in this, it's going to be Israel first. And I believe that Iran already has nuclear weapons. And if it gets struck by one nuclear weapon, one or more, that it will unleash its own nuclear weapons on Israel, for sure, and possibly the maybe some of its neighboring countries that have U.S. military bases that have attacked Iran, or possibly even a nuke over a U.S. aircraft carrier. And I don't know that a nuke would actually sink an aircraft carrier, but it would certainly kill everybody, you know? I mean, the dead structure might still be floating, but the radiation would render it useless. Who knows what would happen. I'm not sure that's ever been tested. There are probably other experts who know better than I do, but it would not be a good day for an aircraft carrier to have a nuclear weapon detonated over it. So anyway, the bottom line is Iran is in command, Israel's getting hammered, and Trump effectively has put Iran in a place of more power than what it had before this war began. Because before this began, Iran had no justification for striking its neighbors with missiles and asserting total control over the Strait of Hormuz. Now Iran does. And Trump and Netanyahu handed that to Iran. So, in effect, Trump has made the U.S. look weaker. Obviously, you know, the military looks weak because the mission hasn't been accomplished. And Iran now looks stronger. And also, at the same time, Trump appears to be completely losing his mind. And here's a quote from Trump. I want to play this video for you. I think this is legit. I don't think this is a deep fake. I want you to hear this video and then see if you can make sense of it.
He's denied it. but they were very strongly involved in all of the people that died through the roadside bombs, died and are right now walking around with no legs, no arms.
All right, did you hear Trump explain that? That so many people died because of roadside bombs, and all those dead people are right now walking around with no legs. I mean, the level of stupidity of such a statement, I mean, yeah, it's classic Trumpian. Trump just makes shit up as he's talking. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But when you say that dead people can walk around and then also that you can walk around with no legs, both of those things are just bizarre to claim. It's like something's wrong with his brain. Is it 25th Amendment time? That needs to be considered. You know, Trump has become Joe Biden. Joe Biden used to say those things. And we would all mock Biden's. Oh my God, his brain's gone. Now it's Trump. Yeah, brain's gone too. So now Trump is doing what every desperate collapsing empire does, is just start threatening with ridiculous terms. You know, Trump is becoming the Baghdad Bob of America. So Trump put out a quote here. He said, this was on Truth Social. He says, quote, if Iran does anything that stops the flow of oil within the Strait of Hormuz, they will be hit by the United States of America 20 times harder than they have been hit thus far. Additionally, we will take out easily destroyable targets that will make it virtually impossible for Iran to ever be built back as a nation again. And he says, death, fire, and fury will rain upon them. That's Trump. But I hope and pray that it does not happen, he says. So, death, fire, and fury. What the hell? What? This isn't presidential. This isn't even legal to say we're going to completely destroy your civilian infrastructure so that you won't exist as a nation. That's a gross violation of treaties that have been ratified by the United States Senate and the UN Charter and so-called rules of war, which they are codified, by the way. So Trump is just like, we're gonna destroy everything if Iran doesn't allow ships to sail through the Strait of Hormuz. So this smacks of total desperation. Of course, Trump is getting desperate. He's panicking. He's losing. And the world economy is collapsing, and the dollar is collapsing, and the U.S. stock market is probably going to collapse, and the derivatives market is going to implode, and gas is going to skyrocket. Food prices are going to skyrocket. So all Trump can do is make more threats. But he can't actually physically open the Strait of Hormuz because, well, for all the reasons we've talked about. So Iran, in response to that, simply said, not one liter of oil will move through the Strait of Hormuz without our permission. You see? So Trump is off in the corner screaming like a lunatic, oh, we're going to hit you 20 times harder. We're going to hit you a gazillion times harder, you know. And Iran is like, well, we hold the cards. We have the geography. We are the ones who can project power through the Strait of Hormuz, which affects the entire world's economy, the energy infrastructure, the financial system, the petrodollar, all of it. So Trump walked himself into the biggest catastrophe that I believe will go down in history as one of the worst military mistakes in the history of our country, and also one of the worst geopolitical mistakes ever by any president, because it's insane. So where is this going from here? Probably Trump will try to figure out some way to just announce victory and leave, and then Israel is going to be on its own to a great extent because, you know, the air defense interceptors have just run out. So Israel, I mean, there's not going to be some deal now to stop Iran from launching missiles upon Israel like there was last summer. Iran could be hitting Israel week after week for the rest of this year, hitting the airport, hitting, you know, government, hitting whatever, hitting factories, nuclear power plants, you know, you name it. And there's literally nothing the U.S. can do to stop it, and there's nothing that Israel can do to stop it. At some point, if Iran holds out long enough, then the U.S. and Israel are going to have to offer terms of surrender. That is the surrender of the West. And those terms, like I mentioned earlier, have already been described by Iran. And Iran, by the way, is starting to lay out terms for whose ships can get free, safe passage through the Strait of Hormuz. So Iran put out a post that said that any Arab or European country that expels all Israeli and U.S. ambassadors will be allowed to have their ships have free passage through the Strait of Hormuz. So you see? See what I said? You have to pay a toll. And the toll price has been set by Iran. And the toll price is, number one, you expel Israel from your country diplomatically, and you expel the United States diplomats from your country. So how desperate is the UK going to get here with no energy? You know, at some point, maybe Spain or France or Germany or the UK will say, my God, we can't survive without natural gas. So, you know, kick the ambassadors out. Get a couple of shipments in of gas. Otherwise, we're done as a country. Otherwise, our industry collapses, etc. And then, see, Iran, like I said, Iran holds the cards. Iran has control. Iran has a leverage here, not the United States. There's nothing the U.S. can do to stop that. They've been trying, you know, but Iran holds the cards. So that's where all this is going. In the U.S., it looks like there might be a military draft. And you can imagine there's almost no 19 and 20-year-old young male in America that wants to go fight and die for Israel. So if there's a draft, that's not going to go well. It's just going to end up with nationwide protests and, you know, conscientious objectors saying that they won't go fight. You can't blame them. Who wants to go fight and bleed for Israel anyway? But probably a draft is coming. This war is going to continue for a long time unless the West surrenders. So that's where we are right now. Yes, Iran has been taking a tremendous amount of damage. Yes, life is difficult for everybody in the region, everybody in Dubai even, everybody in Riyadh, you know, everybody in Kuwait, everybody in Israel, everybody in Iran, everybody's suffering right now. That's because Trump and Netanyahu started this thing. They started it. Now they claim that, oh, if we hadn't started it, Iran was going to bomb us first, so we had to bomb them first. Well, you started it, you know? It's like, you know, two kids in the high school. I had to punch him first because if I didn't punch him first, he's going to punch me first. So I had to punch him first. It's like, that's what they sound like. A bunch of retards running countries into the ground, you know? Just absolute total retards and crooks. But that's where we are. So if you want to stay informed on this, I am posting amazing stories. And sorry to brag, but they're really good. People are loving them. Every day at naturalnews.com. Amazing stories that are done with tremendous AI research because I've built a whole engine to spawn all the agents and bring it in and everything. So articles every day, naturalnews.com. And then also infographics on each article. So I think you're going to really love those. So check it out. And then you can follow all my videos at brightvideos.com. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for listening. One of the really interesting side effects of this war with Iran that has crushed the global energy infrastructure that Western civilization depends on is the fact that more and more people are now looking at electric vehicles and off-grid solar at exactly the time that battery technology is becoming much more advanced. And battery tech used to be kind of a joke, and EVs used to be a joke. I used to mock them. Because they charge so slowly, for example, you know, standing around for 3 hours waiting for my car to charge so I can continue my cross-country trip that's going to take 7 days. You know, that was like, are you kidding me? Who's going to drive that? Some people did, though. But anyway, all that's changing now with new battery technology that I'll mention. But all of a sudden, people are realizing that it's dangerous to be tied to fossil fuels because they're centrally controlled. You know, you have to get your fuel from a refinery. there's only a few countries that produce oil, and you have to go to the gas station, etc. What if you could fuel your vehicle from the sunlight that's already landing on your roof or your yard or what have you? That's the promise of energy, solar energy that you collect and store in your own battery system that then charges your vehicle. And only now are we beginning to see breakthrough technology from China, by the way, that can make this possible. So if you've been wanting to break free from oil and gas and diesel, even though I have diesel equipment, you know, and I've stored diesel because it stores very easily, ultimately, I would much rather just depend on sunlight to be able to power vehicles. And that's where things are going. I'm going to give you some examples here. So I've talked about two Chinese companies in the past, CATL, C-A-T-L, and BYD. BYD makes cars and commercial trucks and things like that, but they also make batteries, and CATL is known for its amazing battery breakthrough technology. Well, BYD just announced a new battery technology that's going into their vehicles right away. It's called Blade Battery 2.0. And in their EVs, they could go 1,000 kilometers on a single charge. That's over 600 miles. That's a lot of range. So imagine 600 miles on a single charge. Yeah. More importantly, you can charge this battery in 5 minutes from a 10% charge to 70%. So again, you go up to 70% in 5 minutes. And if you're willing to wait another 4 minutes, you can hit 97% charge. So let's just say in about 10 minutes, you can almost fully charge your vehicle. 10 minutes. That's acceptable. That's a game changer. So of course it requires a very powerful charging system. You know, the charger itself has to be capable of 1500 kilowatts. That's 1.5 megawatts there, folks. That's a powerful charger. So yeah, not everybody's going to have that. Nevertheless, the battery technology is so good that it can accept a charge like that. So the vehicle that's going to do this is the Yangwang U7, or probably Americans would say Yangwang, I would guess. This is their luxury EV. Again, 1,000 kilometers on a single charge. And they guarantee that this battery is going to last 620,000 miles. 620,000 miles. So what is that? So that's a 1,000 charge cycles. Okay. So that's a guarantee that the battery lasts 1,000 charge cycles. And if something goes wrong with it, they replace it apparently for free. The problem is that you can't buy BYD vehicles in America. I wish we could, because this sounds really interesting. But this is all about the U.S. government blocking imports from China in order to protect the U.S. car industry, which churns out ancient, crappy vehicles. Ford, for example. You know, the Ford Lightning F-150 pickup was a total joke. You would use all your battery power just towing a trailer up one hill. You know, it was like, oh my God, the batteries are dead. We're stranded. So the F-150 Lightning, which Joe Biden was trying to push, total joke, right? 10 years behind China on technology. And Ford will go bankrupt, by the way, if it's not bailed out by the U.S. So probably a bailout is coming, but Ford sucks. But you see, in the U.S., we don't even have the charging stations to support something like the BYD vehicles. We have much older technology. These flash charging stations, as they're called, in China, there's over 4,200 of those charging stations. Wow. In the U.S., I think there's maybe close to zero. I don't know the number in the U.S. I don't know if there's any in the U.S. But this is a big deal. This is a game changer for EVs, because all of a sudden it makes EVs very practical. So if you charge your EV at home, if it were one of these BYD vehicles, then even if it charges slowly, let's say you plug it in and charge it overnight and it takes 8 hours, 10 hours, whatever to charge it, that's fine because it's got the range. It's got the range. So now you can do a serious day of driving. I mean, do you drive 600 miles in a day? Probably not. You know, not on a normal day, hopefully. You're driving to work or you're driving around town or, you know, you go into the hardware store usually 3 or 4 times because the parts are wrong. So you're just driving around. You're going to be able to do all that and have lots of capacity to spare. And then you're home, you park it back in your garage at night, plug it in, even on a 20 amp circuit, you know, 110 volt, 20 amp circuit, it'll charge overnight. That's very practical. And then if the power grid goes down and if you have advanced batteries in your garage, a backup system, then you can charge it off of that. And every day you get more sunlight. That sunlight, assuming you have solar panels, that sunlight charges up your battery bank, and then that battery bank can charge up your car. So every day you have sun, you get more mileage for your vehicle, essentially for free. And you don't have to change the engine oil because you don't have a combustion engine. There's no emissions controls. There's no emissions testing. Think about everything. There's no engine overhauls at 100,000 miles for a diesel engine or what have you. All those hassles are just gone. There's no oil leaks on your garage floor. I mean, think about all the different things. You don't have to change the engine air intake filter, right? Or the oil filter with the oil. You don't have to keep changing the oil all the time, which is always a hassle. All that's gone. And if you drive your car 600,000 miles, which is what the warranty is for the battery, if you drive 600,000 miles, you've driven that car into the dirt, you know? Like that, the car itself is toast long before the battery is bad. You know, the battery, I've said this before, you're going to take the battery out of that vehicle and you're going to put that battery in another vehicle, or you'll use it for something else because the battery's good for a long time. You might use it as a backup storage system for your house, you know? You have to kind of rig that yourself, a little bit of a DIY project. Be careful not to shock yourself with high voltage or high amperage in this case, actually. So just be cautious. But your battery will not fail. What's going to fail first is the vehicle itself. And that's a game changer. Now, on top of this, there's also a company that I've covered here called Donut Lab. And Donut Lab, which, as you may recall, has claimed to be the first solid-state battery that's been put into production in vehicles, in motorcycles in this case. And this battery was launched with extraordinary claims that at first nobody believed, that it could charge in about 5 minutes to almost full capacity, that it was solid state, that it did not use any lithium whatsoever. You could even operate it up to 100 degrees Celsius, which is unheard of. Plus, it works in cold freezing temperatures. And they just put out their third week of test results using the VTT organization out of, Finland, I believe, that does these tests. It's a government-run testing lab, basically. And they proved that this battery is not a supercapacitor, or at least they appeared to prove it, by showing that you could charge it and the charge would hold and stay and doesn't rapidly dissipate. So supercapacitors rapidly lose their energy just by time, I guess, but it's very rapid. So that did not happen with this battery. So the Donut Lab company has been putting out these videos, the sort of proof of their claims, one per week here now for 3 weeks, and they're going to have another one next week and another one the week after. And it appears, week by week, it appears that their claims are largely checking out. And if the whole thing checks out to be legit and true, then it's an absolute game changer. It's a game changer for off-grid power. You know, I raise my hand, hey, Donut Lab, how many batteries will you let me buy? You know, because they're also supposed to be cheap and last 100,000 cycles or up to 100,000 cycles, which even this BYD battery, remember, it's only guaranteed for, you know, 1,000 charge cycles of 1,000 kilometers each. So basically, it's a 1 million kilometer battery guarantee for the lifetime of the battery, or 620,000 miles. But imagine if you could take that to 100 million miles. That's what the Donut Lab battery is essentially claiming, that they can do 100,000 charge cycles. Whoa. Which means the battery is good for your whole life. Remember, I said before, if you charge it and discharge it every day, it's good for 270 years. So, you know, you pass it down to your grandkids. Look, I got this battery from Grandpa, you know, instead of an old pocket knife or something. So that's where this is going. And what that means for off-grid energy and decentralization and being able to erect solar panels and run most of your life, including your car, with solar panels, etc., this is a game changer. So I can't wait for Donut Lab to start selling their batteries. I'm going to be at the front of the line. And again, I'm going to say, how many can I buy? If I get my hands on them, then I'll set up a system and we'll film it. You know, I'll set it up in the studio and we'll film it for you and show you what we're using for charge controllers and inverters and things like that. We'll charge it with grid power because I don't have a bunch of solar panels there. But we'll charge it with the grid and then we'll discharge it to run the studio or something like that. And you'll see. You'll see what it's capable of doing. It could be a game changer. So, again, the big picture of this podcast here is that the war in the Middle East is forcing people to look beyond petroleum. And as it happens right now in human history is the moment that these breakthroughs in batteries and also solar panel efficiency and even lithium iron phosphate affordability, because the prices have plummeted so much in the last 2 years, etc. This is a moment, this is a breakthrough moment for electricity and batteries and EVs, where imagine driving and not having to worry about gas prices, not having to worry, oh, you know, how many oil storage facilities did Israel blow up today? All of them, I think, sir. You know, imagine not having to deal with gas prices at maybe $10 a gallon coming up soon, and you get your energy for free from the sun. That's where this is all headed. And this war is accelerating people's thinking along this trajectory to say, hey, when can I just go full off-grid? We're not quite there yet, but we're close. And I will keep you posted, as this is one of my priority projects. I want to go completely off-grid. I don't want to have to deal with the grid at all. I want to have all my own power and my own batteries, my own solar or backup generators or whatever it takes. I want to be completely off-grid. So when that's possible, I'll share the solution with you. In the meantime, you can keep following my podcast at brightvideos.com. And you can monitor my stories at naturalnews.com. And there I have infographics. And some of you have already noticed that every time I do a podcast, that podcast becomes a story. And then that story becomes an infographic. So if you want to see an infographic version of this podcast, just go to naturalnews.com and you'll see it there. In the left column, that's the stories by the Health Ranger. That's me. And then every day I have an infographic for all my stories. That is, unless the infographic engine is offline. Sometimes that happens because we get rate limited, things like that. It's happened a few times. But usually there's an infographic there for every story. So you'll find one for this one too. All right, that's what I want to share with you today. Wild times, but sunlight is free. And the tech is just about here to let us tap into that natural abundance that comes out of the sky. Yeah, think about that. And they can't tax you on photons from the sun. Although, I bet the British will come up with some way to tax sunlight. They'll probably drive around with a sunlight tax van, you know. It's like, are you using sunlight, you know? And if you're using sunlight, if you have solar panels, it's sunlight tax, you know. because that's a very British thing. I'm sure they would do that, but not in America. We get our photons for free. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for listening. Take care.
I want people to realize this is us fighting for your freedom of speech as well as our own. Because if somebody doesn't stand up to them, they'll continue.
Yeah.
Bullies always do that. Tyrants always do that until someone stands up to them. In the end, the truth prevails. In the end, the good guys win. And I think that's one of the reasons we're here, is to help others.
Welcome to today's interview here on brightvideos.com. And today I'm joined by filmmaker and colleague and friend Ty Bollinger. He and Charlene have put together a powerful must-see film that's free to watch at censoredfilm.com. And it's a film that exposes the censorship industrial complex that targeted him and myself and many others to have us completely silenced and deplatformed so they could push toxic jabs on the population that ended up killing at least 1.5 million Americans. But my guest today, Ty Bollinger, joins me now. And welcome, Ty, and thank you for working so hard to try to save lives even as you were being silenced.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I appreciate the kind words. Thank you as well. It's great to be on the same team, trying to share the truth, trying to save lives, trying to help people to live better lives and be healthy and be happy and have lives full of joy. It's a noble cause. And so, yeah, great to be on your team.
Well, it's great to have you here again. And I just want to remind our audience, if you missed part one of this interview, that's on brightvideos.com. But, you know, Ty, you and I have known each other for many, many years now. And over that time, I've grown to deepen my respect for you, your values, where so many people compromise. You and Charlene do not compromise. You have a set of values. They are strong Christian values, belief in the Creator, belief that we are accountable at a soul level for what we do in this world. I share that belief with you. But can you tell our audience a little bit about why? What drives you to stay in this fight? You're suing big tech for the censorship. You're making these films. You've been hurt financially tremendously by all of this, and yet you're still fighting for human freedom. Why?
You know, great question, Mike. I guess thinking about it now, the real impetus behind this whole thing was the loss of my parents. My dad first in 1996, which I can't believe it's been 30 years, but here shortly in July this year, it will be 30 years that dad died. And he died because he did not have the information that he needed to make good decisions about how to treat cancer. And that was really the start of our research and kind of going down the rabbit hole, so to speak, into the medical mafia and the way that the cancer industrial complex treats disease and the way that big pharma perpetuates sickness with their drugs and the way that the treatments don't actually heal anything, but they just perpetuate more symptoms that you can then treat with more drugs. And it's just an endless rabbit hole. But that was really my father. And had it not been for dad's death, I don't think I'd probably still be practicing as a public accountant in Texas somewhere, which is where we started. I have a master's degree in taxation, and I'd probably be the partner of a CPA firm in Texas somewhere. But I don't think we ever would have done what we've done. So, you know, in the Bible, it talks about in Romans 8:28, God says that I will work out all things together for good to those that love God and called according to his purpose. So even though losing dad sucked, I wouldn't call that a good event. I think God has worked it out for good to help a lot of people since then, because had it not been for his death, I don't think we would have ever published our first book or done the documentaries and just gone down the road that we have. So
yeah,
I think that's what keeps us true to the course is dad. And then mom died years later, and many of my relatives died, and they died because they didn't have information they needed.
See, I share that with you. There are four men in my family I can think of that died of cancer, and also they did not have the information. And it was many years ago when I did not have the information either. And so I was unable to help them, and the medical system, of course, could not help them. And yet today, we now live in a time of incredible information abundance, where people like you and I and others in the health freedom space, every day we're teaching people how to prevent cancer, how to, in many cases, reverse cancer, how to avoid toxic jabs or avoid, you know, toxic chemotherapy, things like that. So we've never had more information abundance than right now. And you've been a big part of that. But then we've also never had more aggressive censorship to try to cut people off from that information. So my point is, and I'll turn it back to you, is we're now living in two parallel worlds of information where sort of mainstream people who still trust the medical complex, they have no idea what's available, what can prevent and reverse cancers or other conditions. And then we have these just aware and awake people like you and I and our audience who know, oh yeah, we know how to beat cancer. We know how to reverse type 2 diabetes. We know how to resolve heart disease. Isn't that true? We're living in two worlds now.
We are. Yeah, we are. And I just want to give you kudos for your search engine, your ebook creator, all the things, the Bright Learn, Bright Videos.
Brightanswers.ai. That's our research engine.
Bright Answers. Yeah. Yeah. And it's phenomenal. Honestly, I've used it a couple of times in the last couple of days just for health related topics. And it's phenomenal.
Yeah,
it is the best. So it is the best. What do you call it? AI bot? I don't even know. LLM is the best LLM out there. I mean, it is truly incredible, the information that you have been able to put together. And it's because you fed it the truth, right? When you were creating, you fed it tens of thousands of books that shared the truth about health. And so now it's able to curate that and spit it back out to you in a split second. But it's pretty amazing. So you've done a great job. And you're right. We are living in almost alternate realities.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. And let me just add that. So, yeah, we put together a curated data set, which is a research data set that our engine looks at, right? And that's now over 113,000 published books.
Wow.
And they're all cited. So when our research agents see something from a book, it incorporates it into the answer, and then it cites the book. You know, we give credit to authors. I don't want people to think that like we stole the books and put it in the engine and we don't give credit. No, our agents are research agents, and we have over 300,000 science papers that are now in that system. Plus, you contributed the entire Truth About Cancer interview series. So all those transcripts are in this system. And do you know, Ty, that the Truth About Cancer has been cited probably 20,000 times in the books that have been generated from Bright Learn? Do you know that?
Wow, that's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear it. Yeah. And you know, the cool thing about your engine is that it doesn't hallucinate. So it actually gives you real citations.
That's right.
Whereas some of the others, they just send you to dead pages, you know?
We cite the actual documents. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I found that I can honestly say I checked every citation a couple of days ago. I was updating an article that we had written years ago, and I went in and updated it with citations from brightanswers.ai,
yep.
And they were all right. They were all correct. Every scientific reference was correct. So you've done a fantastic job. I don't know how you do it. I'm not a tech guy. I'm not a coder like you are. I have no idea how you've done it, but congratulations.
Well, thank you, Ty. That means a lot coming from you. And in fact, I'm glad you brought this up because I wanted to ask you about now in the AI age, it's impossible for the cancer industry and the vaccine industry to hide their lies behind censorship. So now, in fact, it's impossible for the glyphosate industry to hide, because now you can have an AI engine like Claude or Perplexity, or you can run your own local engine. You can run DeepSeek or Qwen or whatever, and you can have it find the truth about, you know, the IBT labs fraud that was claiming glyphosate was safe. And as you've seen, I've created, you know, these incredible infographics. You republished one of them. Ty, that was impossible 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And you saw that infographic. It's like, whoa, like this would have taken days for a human to put together. For me, that was a 15-minute prompt. And it spit out the whole infographic.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can do with AI nowadays. And yeah, the truth is coming out. And you know, some of the mainstream search engine, or not search engine, but the LLMs like ChatGPT or DeepSeek or whatever, they're not going to give you the information on certain subjects. They're still very censored because they've only been taught the lies.
True, right? That's true.
Yeah. Information. And you know, that was one of the things too. Charlie and I have talked about this, and I just thought about this now. But you know, maybe that was one of the reasons that you and us and many others were censored and our websites taken down or our videos taken down or Facebook or social media accounts taken down. Because when AI, these LLMs were learning, our websites weren't up there for them to learn from.
Oh, I've said the same thing, Ty. It was deliberate. They took down all our sites because they knew they were scraping all the web content to influence the AI engines. That's exactly what happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yep. Yeah. But what's really amazing about this, and I mean, I love the fact that we're talking about this. So I've done immense testing on AI models, and it's the Chinese models that are the least censored on the topics that we care about. Now, the Chinese models are censored about Taiwan or Tiananmen Square or some parts of, like, you know, the Chinese party, whatever, politics in China. They're censored about that, but they're mm-hmm. not as censored as the US models on the things that we are talking about. So if you use the Chinese models, which are open source, you're actually going to get better answers than ChatGPT. Isn't that amazing?
It is. You know, you're right. Absolutely. So DeepSeek will give you some phenomenal answers on some of these medical related issues or the cancer cartel or whatever. Whereas ChatGPT will not. ChatGPT,
right.
I'm not going to talk about a conspiracy theory. Whereas DeepSeek will give you the truth.
Yeah, the U.S. models lecture you. They lecture you. And the Chinese models just answer the question.
Yeah,
so
much better. And much better. And isn't it funny, too, because we grew up to believe that USA, land of the free, home of the brave, China, Russia, there's no freedom of speech there. But in ways, they had more freedom of speech.
It's all been inverted now. It's completely the opposite. Yeah, the Chinese models are more pro-freedom. But the other thing that's really important about this, and this affects everything you're talking about, the whole system of medicine, of Western medicine, it's about to crumble, Ty. It's obsolete because what mainstream doctors do, looking at symptoms and prescribing drugs, that's very algorithmic. That can be easily replaced by AI. And as a result, we're going to see AI moving into medicine. I mean, we already have, you know, millions of prompts on our engines, people asking health questions, et cetera. Although we have a disclaimer there, like, this is not your doctor. But you're going to see AI doctors that are more officially recognized, absolutely replacing human doctors. And frankly, AI, I've said this before, this is not a joke. My AI engine knows more about health and medicine than any human doctor living or who has ever lived. And it's just a fact. It's just true. The knowledge base is immense.
Because they've digested in a nanosecond what takes people years to learn. And, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that. I saw Elon last night on the video, and he was discussing how Optimus? Is his personal
assistant? Yeah, Optimus, yeah.
He said within a couple of years, just Optimus will be able to perform better surgeries than any surgeon in the world, with more precision, with better knowledge base. And then at that point, you know, he said once one of them knows it, all of them will know it. It's kind of like this hive mind, apparently. But that's pretty wild, isn't it? Thinking about a robot taking the place of a surgeon. But
well, yeah, I mean, and that's coming. But sometimes Elon is a little premature about the timelines, as we all are sometimes, but that's coming.
I think he said 3 years to 4 years maximum that Optimus will be performing surgeries. But, you know, regardless, it's kind of bizarre, but it's not surprising. That's kind of where things are heading.
You probably experienced this too, but all since I've been doing this for 25 years, people often ask me nutrition questions, right? Like, oh, I have this symptom. What should I eat or take? Blah, blah, blah. Right? I've been asked this thousands of times. Today, my answer is very simple. Go to brightanswers.ai and ask the engine, because it will give you vastly better answers than what I could give you.
Yep. Yeah. And I just did that. I think it was yesterday. I had a friend from church that had a friend that had elevated PSA levels, I believe, and was looking for different anti-inflammatories to help with elevated PSA. So I just went to Bright Answers, and because I'm like, I can tell you what, you know, turmeric or
pomegranate, you know,
crawler, quercetin or whatever. Some of these things that I know work well, but I know I'm going to forget some of it.
Yeah.
But Bright Answers won't. So I literally went there, I think it was yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know what else is really cool about brightanswers.ai is, you know, you, for example, your company has products and you formulate those products. You can, when you're in the formulation stage, you can ask brightanswers.ai about every single ingredient. And you can ask it, if there's an ingredient you don't like, you can ask it for alternative ingredients. It will actually do like chemistry thinking for you.
That's wild.
Isn't it?
That is very wild.
It changes.
We're heading.
It's wild. Yeah, I mean, it changes everything. This is my point. See, you have been a champion of freedom of speech long before AI tech came along, long before. Like, you did it the hard way. I did it the hard way. We worked our butts off for decades. Yeah. Now, things are dramatically changing where we can amplify our voices with AI automation technology. And I'd like to know sort of what's your thinking around this. How can the truth about cancer and the truth about vaccines continue to, you know, amplify its message in the age of AI?
Well, you know, what I'm doing now is, you know, unfortunately I mentioned, and I think it was in the last interview, that we'd had to downsize our companies tremendously because of the way that we've been attacked financially with being part of the disinfo dozen and the way the censorship industrial complex has attacked us. So we don't have the people working for us. So I'm literally doing two or three, maybe four different people's jobs now because with the help of AI. So whether it's writing, creating videos, you know, those are the main things that I'm doing every day is writing articles, writing Substacks, creating videos, scripting things. And it's allowed me to multiply myself, I guess.
Yes.
Right. I can do things in a fraction of the time that I used to. Because honestly, we just don't have the people working for us anymore than we used to, because the censors, the tyrants, you know, hamstrung us financially with the disinfo dozen. And so we just haven't been able to generate revenues like we did in the past. But that's okay. You know, we're figuring workarounds. And so that's what it's done for us, is it's literally allowed me to take care of four or five different jobs at the same time.
You know, I want to mention for people who want to check out your film, again, this is a critical new film to watch and share. It's at censoredfilm.com. There's also a donate button there where people can donate and they can help support your efforts. And I encourage people to consider that. What else do you want to tell people about what they can find at that website?
Yeah. And you showed earlier, or your tech guys were showing earlier a little bit of the trailer on one of the screens behind you. And you saw someone drinking a glass of wine, and then you saw what looked like Jesus. So that's the way that censored starts. This film starts with Socrates being accused and charged with impiety and corrupting the youth. And they made him drink hemlock for his death. And then it goes to the story of Jesus, how he was killed for his words. He didn't commit any crime, but he was put to death because he spoke words that weren't popular. And so they killed him. And that's the way that censored starts. And then it segues to the current day. And we talk a little bit about Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the way that Bobby was censored. He was literally censored mid-speech during one of his, when he was running for president by YouTube. They took his channel down in the middle of one of his speeches. He was censored. And then we talk about your case and our case. So I wanted to mention that's what the film is about. The film Censored, the Fight for the First Amendment, really focuses heavily on your case, Webseed and Brighteon, versus a bunch of defendants, and then our case against a bunch of defendants, many of the same defendants that we're suing, because they targeted us to eliminate our voices, to silence our voices. We were digitally assassinated by the censorship industrial complex. And so this film, Censored, is about a one-hour documentary that deals with specifically with our cases. And
so,
it's a good watch. It's very interesting to watch.
People, absolutely.
Be educated.
This is a critical film. Again, for everybody, I encourage you to go to censoredfilm.com, watch the film, and then share that website URL so that other people can see the film too. But now, Ty, since we're on the topic of filmmaking and AI,
yeah,
I want to ask you, and this is actually going to be a golden age of filmmaking using AI tools. We have the ByteDance product known as C-Dance.
Yes.
That's about to be released to America. I think it's maybe this week it's going to be opened up to Americans. This will enable filmmakers like you to produce with some effort. You know, you have to write the scripts and describe the characters and the scenes, etc. You're going to be able to produce documentaries without having to film anything. I mean, of course, you want to film certain people that you're featuring, but I'm talking about like B-roll scenes or whatever. But have you been thinking about how you're going to use AI filmmaking to continue your message?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, you and I were texting about that a couple of weeks ago about Seedance. And I'd seen some preliminary examples of what it can do, and it's just phenomenal. It looks literally like a Hollywood-produced movie that you can do in this software. So yeah, I've been thinking a lot about how we can use that to amplify our message and to continue filming without filming on certain things, and creating, you can actually create your own customized B-roll for certain scenes or for certain topics that you want. And I've been thinking about a lot about what we can do just on a weekly basis, releasing videos. And I love what you did as well with you have three or four, maybe five different reporters that you've created.
Avatars, I call them.
Avatars, right. Your avatars, they've all got their own names and their own look and their own distinctive voice. And they all look like real people. So, you know, I kind of copied that. And I've got some ideas, things that we can do with daily news shows and so forth with an avatar or two that we're going to create. I've actually already created a couple of them, but just kind of in the process of learning the software and learning how to make it look better.
Yeah.
I think I sent you one.
And the cost of that is going to drop dramatically, especially as more open source models come out, probably from China, obviously. Eventually, at least my prediction, Ty, is that, you know, right now you have to log into a hosting website of a company that's offering these services like Seedance. But I think that within, I don't know, maybe less than 2 years, that capability or something very close to it will be available locally on your desktop with some high-end computer equipment. So maybe for an investment of, I don't know, $20,000, which maybe that sounds like a lot to people, but for video creation, that's nothing. You know, that's like that. It costs that to fly your crew over to China. You know, you did all the hidden medicine of Asia. That cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. But imagine for 20 grand to have a video creation workstation on your desk that can produce videos. You just have to ask it.
Yeah. And you know, that's something that I've definitely considered, and that may be in the future for us. And the cool thing is, you know, with your websites, your multitude of websites, with ours, we have thousands of articles that we've written. And, you know, it's easy to go in and using AI, summarize an article that we've done into a 90-second video summary that we can then feed into our avatar and have our reporter discuss, you know, the
absolutely
bits of turmeric that we've already done all the work on. It's just a matter of using AI, leveraging it to create a video that people will watch as opposed to an article, which many of them won't read.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's repurposing your content and making it available in different formats. Yeah. We're doing audiobook creation for our Bright Learn engine, and that's based on the fact that Quinn released this new text-to-speech model that's just amazing. And I am setting up more workstations to be able to handle that workload. It takes about 1 hour of compute to generate. No, I'm sorry. It takes 6 hours of compute to generate 1 hour of audio. So, you know, if you're going to do full-length audiobooks that are 10 hours, that's like 60 hours of compute time. So it's still, you know, there's a cost, but it's doable. And that's local.
I can't even imagine what it's costing you for Bright Answers and Bright Learn and all the things. I mean, because you're offering it, it's all for free. And I mean, I really admire that, because you say it all the time on your podcast, you know, knowledge should be free. And so I admire you doing that, but I can't even imagine the cost.
Well, there's a cost. Yeah, there's a cost. But like you, you know, we're supported by our base of followers and customers who actively choose to support us because they believe in what we're doing. They share our values. And that's why, again, I want to remind people to go to your website, censoredfilm.com. There's a donate button there. Watch the trailer, you know, sign up for the trailer, watch the films, share the site, make a donation, help support this entire operation. Ty, as we're coming up on time on this, what else do you want to wrap up with here and leave our audience with?
I think the thing that I'd like people to remember is that this film, it documents our lawsuit, Charlene and my wife and I, and Mike, his lawsuit, versus the tyrants that are trying to censor us, trying to take away our First Amendment rights. So I want people to realize this is us fighting for your freedom of speech as well as our own, because if somebody doesn't stand up to them, they'll continue.
Yeah.
Bullies always do that. Tyrants always do that until someone stands up to them. And we got to a point, and you were the trailblazer. You filed your lawsuit first.
Yep.
And I remember seeing you on a podcast right after y'all filed it with Jeffrey. And I think Jason was on there too. And you were talking about your lawsuit. And I talked to Charlene and said, man, we've got the same issues that Mike does. We should contact them and see about using their attorneys and filing our own suit. And I texted you and you're like, heck yeah, I'll do it. Hop on. And you were very magnanimous as well, saying, you know, we've already spent a lot of money, but that's okay. Hop on and just anything that they've done for us, they've already done for you. You don't have to pay for it. So, you know, again, you put your money where your mouth is, but we appreciate that because you trailblazed this lawsuit and we probably would not have filed it had you not done it first.
Well, that's interesting that you're mentioning that because, our audience, they don't know this, but once the attorneys got into your lawsuit, the evidence was way worse than what had been done to us. It was like, they broke the law, they violated everything in attacking my company, but then they doubled down on attacking your company with way worse stuff. Couldn't believe it.
In the span of about 6 months.
Yeah.
Once y'all filed till when we filed, you filed in May of 2024, I think, and we filed in December of 2024.
That's right.
The evidence was like a snowball.
Because they were all coming out and admitting everything.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's one of the things that's in the documentary is, you know, Zuckerberg went on to Rogan he went on twice in December of 2022, I think, and then January 2025, I think, were the two times. But he literally admitted all our allegations were true.
Yes. Yes.
They admitted it in public.
Right. That's why these cases are slam dunk cases.
Yeah.
If they get through the motion to dismiss.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because the people we're suing, the organizations we're suing have, for the most part, and also through the emails that have come out, and we're not even at discovery yet, they have admitted their guilt in almost every case.
There is no dispute.
Yeah.
There is no dispute. The only way that we don't win is if corrupt judges allow technicalities to obfuscate the truth,
right. Or
if they just make a blatantly unconstitutional decision. Because, like you said, everything we've alleged has been admitted. It's public knowledge now. They've admitted it in on podcasts. They've admitted on the floors of Congress. Everybody knows it's the truth. They don't even deny it anymore. So the argument is not we did not do this to Mike. We did not do this to Ty and Charlene. It's that, they don't have standing to sue us for it, or whatever the argument might be. And so, you know, the reality is, if there is still any justice left in our legal system, these cases are a slam dunk. But until that time, we got to keep fighting. And so that's why censored is so important, because I think it'll really educate people on what's going on with these lawsuits.
Yeah.
And like I said, this is Mike Adams. This is me and my wife, Charlene, fighting for the right of everyone in the United States to continue to have freedom of speech according to the Constitution and the First Amendment. And if it's taken, you don't get it back.
That's right. That's right. And let me know. We'll talk off camera about when I have permission to put it on Bright Videos. I can put a registration requirement in front of it.
Okay.
Because I know you spent a lot of money on this film, and you want to be able to reach people who sign up to watch it. So we can build that for you.
Cool.
But I definitely want to help get the film out through other platforms as well. So we'll talk about that later.
Awesome. Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else you want to add before we wrap it up?
And just encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, and encourage everyone that's watching to continue to share the truth with everyone you know. In the end, the truth prevails. In the end, the good guys win. I'm not a doom and gloomer. I know that there's a lot of things that are happening nowadays that are really negative and that really can make you sick at your stomach and wonder what's our future. But I really believe that in the end, the good guys win, truth prevails. And so just continue to share the truth, help people to live joyful lives, to live abundant lives. I know, Mike, you talk about that a lot, living an abundant life. And I think that's one of the reasons we're here, is to help others. And so just keep helping others.
That's right. That's right. Well said. Completely agree with that philosophy. All right, Ty, it's always a pleasure having you on. Thank you for taking the time today. And most importantly, thank you for putting the effort into the film. I can't wait to see it, and I can't wait to share it. So have a great rest of your day. I've really enjoyed speaking with you here again.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. God bless you, brother.
God bless. Take care. All right, everybody. There you go. Ty Bollinger, a real American hero and a champion of freedom of speech. And he doesn't just talk the talk. He walks the walk. He creates the documentaries. He files the lawsuits. He funds the efforts. And he is definitely worth supporting in this. And also, thank you for supporting us, because we're spending a small fortune on these lawsuits as well, fighting for your right to be able to speak the truth. So you can, of course, share this video, and you can find part one of this interview at brightvideos.com. And if you want to use my free AI engines that Ty was mentioning, they include brightanswers.ai, which is our deep research engine that's about to get a major upgrade too, and also brightlearn.ai, which is our free book creation engine. There are almost 40,000 books created already. They're all free to download. And if you don't find the one you like, you can make your own. And there are all kinds of books on cancer cures and DMSO and the dangers of vaccines and, you know, chlorine dioxide, colloidal silver, all the banned topics, we've got it covered. That's books.brightlearn.ai. You can find all those books. So thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. God bless you all. Take care.
What is the price of a dangerous truth? For Socrates, it was hemlock. For Jesus, the cross. History's greatest truth tellers and bravest voices share one fate: silencing.
Censorship is the disease. Freedom of speech is the cure.
Today, the weapons are digital. The censors wear suits, and the battlefield is your mind.
The government didn't merely pressure social platforms. It orchestrated a coordinated campaign to transform them into instruments of state-sponsored censorship.
Witness the exposed conspiracy, an unholy alliance between government power, big tech, monopolies, and billionaire-funded NGOs to control what you see, think, and say.
They took a foreign, dark money-funded hit piece, amplified it from the White House podium and across thousands of media outlets across the world, and they used it to try to erase us from the public square.
The government, its NGO allies, and big tech didn't just silence us. They colluded in a criminal enterprise to label the truth as disinformation and silence the truth tellers.
Government is a disinformation factory running three shifts, 24/7, 7 days a week, churning out disinformation.
But now, the silenced are launching a counterattack. Not with protests, but with subpoenas. Not with signs, but with lawsuits.
This lawsuit exists to expose their crime and restore the right of every American to speak freely.
They have dragged the most powerful entities on earth into court.
This is about preserving the U.S. Constitution and our God-given right to freedom.
To demand one answer: by what authority do you silence us?
If they get away with silencing us, with our huge reach and millions of followers, they can and will try to do it to anyone.
They censored the speech. Now they must defend the silence.
It doesn't matter if you're a conservative or liberal or an independent, because sooner or later you will utter something that offends those in power.
We were the test case. You are the target.
Find the truth. Join the resistance.
Thank you.
Visit censoredfilm.com.
Yes, the world is getting crazy, but here at the Health Rangers store, we're putting together a survival supply assortment for you. If you go to healthrangerstore.com/survival, you'll see what we put together for you, including iodine and Iosat. That's a specific brand name of potassium iodide that's FDA approved. Or we have the nascent iodine here, which is less expensive in terms of the iodine that you get. These are available in case things go nuclear. It's clear that you will not be able to find any of this for sale anywhere. All the inventories will be wiped out, like what happened after Fukushima in 2011. So if you want to get your hands on some iodine, this is a chance to get it right now. healthrangerstore.com/survival. In addition, we have many other survival items for you here, including some silver solutions, some spirulina available in bulk and at a discount, and then a large assortment of storable organic food that's laboratory tested, including our Ranger Bucket sets. Here's a 195-day supply. We've got the mini buckets, and we've also got number 10 cans available of freeze-dried fruits and vegetables and other things like miso soup powder. Here's some of the buckets. There's a big variety available. Here are some of the number 10 cans right here. Remember, a lot of people are missing fruit. They don't have enough vitamin C in their storable food. So, you know, getting bananas and pineapples and strawberries, especially, again, certified organic, freeze-dried. That is the highest quality with the highest nutrient preservation that you can get in any kind of a storable food format. All of this is available right now and so much more. Just go to healthrangerstore.com/survival. And because the freeze-dried foods last for so long, you know, even if you don't eat them this year or next year, just keep them on the shelf. They're going to last a very long time with good preservation, a long shelf life, and they will have value no matter what happens in the world. Now, of course, I'm praying for peace. I'm praying for de-escalation. I don't want to see World War III break out, and I certainly don't want it to go nuclear. But we're dealing with insane times and insane leaders and insane situations. Who knows what could happen tomorrow or next week? Disruptions could happen here in the United States. There could be, you know, domestic attacks that disrupt supply chains here in the U.S. So stock up early, stock up now, get your emergency food, emergency medicine, iodine, anything else that you think that you might need. Get it now. And by doing so, by shopping with us, you'll be supporting our platforms and our AI engines that we offer for free. That's funded in part by sales from our store. So shop with us at healthrangerstore.com/survival and help yourself get prepared and also help us bring you more free tools and platforms that can keep you informed no matter what happens in the world. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for your support. God bless you all. Take care.